So we're waiting on a mic to show up. It'll be here momentarily. Watch this. We were watching a comedian last night, and dude, you can use a mic for so many things. Like anytime he wants to do something, you know, to add emphasis, he'll like, and it works, and he falls down. Acts like he works at a golf club. So anyway, hey, this morning we're continuing our series called Romans chapter 12. Before we get into that, I've got a couple of, we got to do some announcements. Those are important sometimes. I don't like doing announcements because I feel like they drag on and I talk unnecessarily. But sometimes you just got to do what you got to do, right? First things first, happy Father's Day. How many fathers do we have in the room? Yeah, all you dads. And you know, it's always kind of, you know, somewhat bittersweet when it comes to holidays as such. Because a lot of us didn't have really good fathers or really good examples, and we're just, it's easy to throw yourself a pity party when something like this rolls around. You're like, oh, my dad, you know, wasn't really there or never got to meet him or whatever the case is. And so what I think we should do is, man, let's celebrate the dads that are here, the dads that are involved in the lives of their children. Man, I don't think there's a mother's love is incredible. It's, you know, it's funny how this works. Mother's Day gets like 3 months of publicity, and Father's Day, starting on Thursday of this week, they're like, oh, by the way, it's Father's Day, right? I mean, how much do we really care about fathers in our society? So don't get me started. So if you're a dad, man, we have a little gift for you. Just stick up your hand for us, and we want to pass that out to you. Wave it high, be proud. Yeah, there he is. Beautiful. Hey, these cups, they were custom crafted, handmade. Well, not the cups, but the vinyl on the cups. And if it comes off, I had nothing to do with it. So that's good. Everybody get one? Awesome. John got one? All right. There it is. Beautiful. Hey, and kind of segueing from that, Daniel mentioned that Shelly and I had our 14th anniversary this week. And, yeah. And so every time we say that, everybody's like, how old are you? I am 32. We got married when we were 18. We do not recommend that to other people. Like, we are the exception to the rule. Most, every other person that we know that got married when they were 18, not so much, right? Didn't turn out very well for them. But anyway, there's not a more incredible person to put up with me than my beautiful and lovely wife. And so let me just give you guys some marriage insight real quick. This is a life lesson that you can, man, jot this down. So after 14 years, you learn to, you know, you learn to deal with stuff, right? And so my wife cuts hair for a living. She has a salon. And so this week, we decided we were going to mix it up and cut my hair differently. And I'm wearing a hat on Sunday. You do the math, right? So, yeah, I was going for the Bryce Harper, and I look like Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You don't even know who that is. So here we are. And so I just embrace it. I'm like, everybody thinks I'm 12 anyway. I'll just go ahead and wear Jordans and wear my flat bill, and life is good. So this morning, we're continuing our Romans chapter 12 series. And we started last week, and we started covering verses. Last week, we didn't make it very far at all. We covered verse 1 and verse 2. And there's such powerful insight in this entire book. But verses 1 and 2, I think we really needed to spend some time on. And it talks about how we shouldn't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's God's will for our lives. And it talked about how worship is simply a response to God's mercy. Like, we recognize the mercy of God on our lives, in our lives, and we respond to that. And that's what worship is. And we are a living sacrifice as a result of that. So that's kind of where we were at last week. That was my mini sermonette. Speaking of sermonette, Shelly, you should just come preach. Yeah. Hey, did we find that other mic, by the way? It is MIA, disappeared. Man, I hate being on a leash. So this week, we're going to cover a little bit more ground. We're going to hit verses 3 through 8. We're not going to go too fast, but I think we won't cover too much without being able to understand it. So without further ado, let's get into it. The first part of Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, is what I call the ripple effect. The first passage or little section that we're going to dive in today, it's an incredibly powerful reminder of how interconnected that we are. Because, you know, this is what society does. Society tells you to do you. You do you, right? Like, you hear that. And you know, I mean, there are so many variations of that. You get yours, I'm going to get mine's. And however it's presented to you, but selfishness and kind of you getting yours and taking care of yourself and looking out for number one is the way that society tells you to live your life. And there's just so many things that are wrong with that, and so many things and dangers and inherent traps in that that we've got to be aware of. And more importantly, we need to understand first and foremost that we are interconnected. Like, I'm connected to you and you are connected to me. And this is, I was thinking about this last night. So many people, they want the benefits of relationships without the responsibility of relationships. That's why you have so many kids running around without a dad. They want the benefits of a relationship, but they don't want the responsibility of a relationship. And do we want to go there? Because, I mean, we can, right? And so the same thing is true. Same thing is true. I mean, you don't have to go to that degree, but so many people want the benefits of friendships and relationships and connectedness without the responsibility of connectedness. Like, you have to contribute. It's never just take, it's give and take, right? And so for us to understand that that's the foundation of us as a church and us as a community and our lives, that we are interconnected, is huge. And to get to that point, you have to alleviate one thing that probably troubles every one of us to some degree in some way, and it's pride, right? How many of you guys can be honest this morning and tell me that you've dealt with pride in your life, right? And then those of you that are saying, well, I'm insecure, I don't have pride. Insecurity really is just pride. It's just pride in a different way. Because this is what you do when you have insecurity. You say, oh, you know, I can't do that. And you focus, you turn all of the attention on you and what you can't do, which is really just another form of pride, right? So we've all dealt with pride. And so for us to get to the place where we really live these dependent, interconnected lives, not dependent in a unhealthy way, but dependent on, like, hey, you've got these things you bring to the table. I've got these things I bring. It's just like a relationship. I mean, just think about it. Shelly and I are so different, but our uniqueness is the strength of our bond. The things that differentiate us really complement us, and it makes us stronger. Differentiate than compensate, maybe. I don't know. I was trying to work on my eights, but it didn't happen. So some people, they live under this false assumption that the decisions that they make will only affect them, right? And you've probably done this. I've probably done this. I have done this. I'm an idiot. I've done it, right? Can we be honest in church? We make decisions assuming falsely that they're only going to affect us. And that's just not true. And this is what we call the ripple effect, right? I'm going to try to be artistic with one hand. We'll see how this goes. And so you guys, y'all know what concentric circles are, right? Everybody know what concentric circles are? If you don't sweat it. We'll get there. There's one, and another one. Yeah, it's a bullseye. Anybody have a target or a bow and arrow? Whatever. So these are concentric circles, right? And so let's say my penmanship is lacking. Just deal with it. This is you, right? This is you. And so if you live under the assumption that your decisions don't affect anybody else, then you would assume that these circles don't exist. And that's just garbage, because if you choose to be in relationships with people, then these circles do exist. If you choose to have friendships, if you choose to have relationships, boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives, children, then these circles exist. So let's use an example here and kind of extrapolate this out and show you how this works. Let's just say this is a married man, a dude that's married, and he decides one day that he's going to start looking at porn. No big deal. Nobody's going to know about it. Like, it's going to be something he does all by himself. Nobody's going to find out. Couldn't possibly affect or hurt anybody, right? And then his wife finds out, because they always do. They always do. And it doesn't have to be pornography. I mean, it can be anything. Man, they have like this super secretive scent. I don't know. Like a sixth sense. I'm trying to think of a way. It's creepy. I don't understand. They're like, it's like God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, wife. And they can do this stuff. And so she finds out, and she will. I mean, 99% of the time they find out. You're just not that good. You're not that secretive. And so she finds out about what's going on in his life. And do you think there's going to be tension? There should. There should be an incredible amount of tension, because something needs to give. He needs to freaking knock it off and respect her the way that she deserves to be respected. And there's probably some other issues that they need to deal with. But at any rate, there's going to be tension. His decision affected this relationship. And then let's say they have children. Children. Let's say they have kids. How many of you guys know a school teacher? You know, let's say an elementary grade school. We've got a few of those, elementary school teacher. And so many times when you have kids that have social behavioral issues at school, it's because they have crappy family lives at home. And there are issues going on at home that lead to them acting the way that they act at school. And so daddy, being selfish, not only does he affect his wife, but the children pick up on the tension between husband and wife, and then maybe they start to act out and act crazy at school and have, you know, these issues with authority, because why would they respect authority when authority in their life isn't acting like authority? You know, they're supposed to act grown up, but they're acting like kids, right? And so, anyway, these kids are affected by the relationship or the decision, the poor decision of the man. Do you see what's going on here? There's a ripple effect, and this could go on. I mean, you could kind of go crazy with it and continue to go outward from there. The point is just simply this. Man, we are connected to each other. The decisions that you make, the decisions that I make, they affect everybody around us. And obviously, the ones that are closest to us feel the brunt of that. And this can be good or bad. Like, right? I mean, that's obvious. Like, good obviously affects them, but the poor decisions that we make affects those around us. And ultimately, it gets into our community, like us as a church, a group of people. Like, we're affected by the decisions that everybody individually makes. Does that make sense? Good. I'm glad that's making sense. You ever get caught, like, trying to say something and it's not there? Crickets, right? And so what happens is one person's selfish decision has sent shockwaves into his community. And so just look at the way this reads. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says, For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. And so it's just so cool to me, because if you read verses 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, it's all about how we're this body, and we've all got gifts, and we're all kind of connected to each other, and we're members of each other. And he starts off the conversation with, don't be prideful. I think it's interesting. I think it's an important setup. I think he knows what he's doing when he's saying what it is that he's saying, because this is predicated on this. We never get to the healthy body, and we never get to be members of one another, and we never get to have, you know, these gifts operating as they should if pride is at work. So he said, by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, more highly than you should. And then I love the way it says this, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. And I was thinking about that term, sober judgment. It's just like, these are the facts. This is the reality. This is the way things are. And kind of the opposite of sober judgment would be beer goggles, right? Sober judgment and beer goggles. Like, oh, you just gloss over. Everything's okay. Everything looks better than it really is. And you're distorting reality when you do that. And we need to be honest in our evaluations of who we are, where we're at, the things that we can improve on, and all of those things. You guys are sharp people. You get that. Let's not allow pride to be at work in our lives. If it is, then we'll never achieve what it is that we hope to achieve as a part of the kingdom of God, as a part of the church, and the healthy relationships that we want just won't be healthy. Pride just destroys, man. It wrecks. Because we talked about this a few weeks ago in the teen small group. We talked about how pride is really the root of every other sin. Like, every sin that you commit could always be connected back to, in some way, pride. Like, you do it because you want to do it. Well, that's pride. Or you do it because it's beneficial to you, or there's pleasure in it for you. Well, that's pride. And you do things that affect other people without considering how it affects other people. Well, that's just pride. And so for us to get where it is that we're trying to go, pride cannot be at work. We have to think of ourselves not more highly than we should. And man, if you just really take some time to kind of sit on that and think about it and allow it to process in your head, I think you'll probably grow as a result of that. I was having a conversation the other day with another pastor, and I thought this was so cool. He said something, and I was just like, I'm stealing it. Like, as you guys well know, I will steal anything. And I may even at some point pass it off as my own. I don't know. I'm just kidding. And so I was talking to him, and he said that he learned this a few months ago, and he was like, every time I'm faced with a situation and I have to make a decision, I ask myself, what would a great pastor do? Not what would I do, not what would you know you do if you were in my shoes, but what would a great pastor do? And then he was like, and what's so cool is this applies to every one of us and wherever we're at in our lives. If you've got to make a decision, what would a great blank do? What would a great mom do in this situation? What would a great dad do in this situation? What would a great employee do in this situation? What would a great leader do in this situation? What would a great business owner do in this situation, right? Like, if you want, this is what we do. We can't make decisions based on how it affects us. We have to make decisions based on how it affects those around us. And you do that when you look at it from not what would I do and how it's beneficial to me, but what would a great blank do and how it's beneficial to everybody else. And I'm like, man, I am jacking that. Like, what would a great father do? He probably wouldn't beat his kids that much. Give yourself some wiggle room, right? And so that's the first part. Just remember, man, we're connected to each other. There's a ripple effect, and the decisions that you make don't just affect you. Like, don't be so foolish or ignorant or just stupid to think that your decisions only affect you. That's garbage. That's false. That's not true. Give me some more adjectives or descriptives or whatever. Just not going to happen. So the second part is this, and we've already kind of alluded to it. The second part is you and me, and me and you. And I tell myself all the time, I'm not going to sing, and I'm not going to do it, right? But we're just connected to each other. And so the next few verses really focus on our uniqueness and how, in spite of our individual abilities, that we're all kind of connected to each other. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. It says, for just as each one of us has one body with many members, like we've got one body with 206 bones, and you've got, you know, fingers and toes and arms and legs and all of those things. Every one of us has one body and many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You get it? Like, and we can understand kind of the language. I think he's speaking allegorically here, obviously. Like, we comprise of a body. We make up a body. And your function in the body may be different than my function. You're probably the brain. I'm probably not, right? I may be dumb, but I can lift heavy things. I'm the back, right? And so each of us have a different role, a different responsibility in the body, but we're still all part of the body. And I love the way it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's like, could you imagine parts of your body getting offended at other parts of your body because they don't get to do what other parts of your body do? It's like, oh, I'm mad at the eyes because they can see and I can't see, and your finger's all ticked off. Like, how ridiculous. Exactly. It's repulsive. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. And the same thing is true for us. Like, you don't have to do what somebody else does. You have to do what you can do. And you are the only one that can do that. And you can do it as well as anybody in the world can do it. You can do it like only you can do it, right? So you got to be you and do what you can do for us. Simple enough. I know that there's a lot of twists and turns there, right? So with respect to the church and the Christian life and us kind of being on this journey together, each of us have different things that we bring to the table, but they're all necessary. Like, it's kind of funny. We did a car wash yesterday for the teenagers, which, by the way, we've waste. I watched a lot of Elmer Fudd growing up. It's a true story. So we raised over $2,000. Good. That is loud. That's impressive. So we raised well over $2,000 so far for our youth camp, and we need, like, how much do we need? $168, and it's completely done. So at any rate, we were doing, and there's some envelopes at the back, get one or you're going to not send our kids to youth camp. And so we had a car wash yesterday, and there were a lot of people there that were helping out. And you know what? We had some people standing out by the road with signs. That would not be a good place for me. First off, I'm not very attractive. Like, they usually like pretty girls out by the road, right? That gets people to turn in. And then you also have the kids who are adorable. Tavian, my son is 9, and he's going to be a swindler or a great salesperson. One of the two. I don't know which one. And so I don't know how many people were just he told Shelly, he was like, this is easy. All you do, because you're catching them as they're coming out of Walmart, and you got to wait for 30 minutes to get out. He's like, if they have their window rolled down, you just go up to it and say, right? Wasn't that it? And dude, they were passing out. We didn't want, we had more people just give us money than we actually washed cars, which is awesome. Maybe they felt sorry for us, but at any rate, Tavian was killing it. And so you've got people that are fulfilling those responsibilities, and then you have other people that got to wash the cars, right? Like, and if everybody wants to do the same thing, nothing gets done. We all need to kind of embrace our role and our responsibility and get something done. And I've been thinking, I always think of ways I can get myself in trouble with what I say, and I'm going to do that in a little bit. So I'm just, that's a tease, right? What's so cool is that each of us have this role or responsibility. Some of you are very encouraging, and that's a great gift. Use it. Some of you are more like, hey, man, you need to knock it off. Like, that's admonishing. And there's a difference. And they're both necessary. Like, you don't need to be encouraged when you're doing something wrong. You need to be checked when you're doing something wrong, right? But if you're having a terrible day, you don't need to be checked. You need to be encouraged. And so, like, we need both of you. Like, Shelly is an incredible encourager. And then, you know, if you want to get, I don't know, wisdom or insight and somebody tell you what you don't need to do, ask Daniel. Daniel will tell you. Right? But we need both. Like, they're both incredibly important. Like, some people are better at praying. Other people are just better at serving, right? Some people will serve you by praying, and other people will serve you by doing. And they're both perfectly fine. And you can have elements of both. That's not to say that if you serve, you don't pray, right? It's just to say that man, you feel most fulfilled and you feel your purpose when you serve other people. Some people are great teachers. Like, they can explain to you why they're doing what they're doing and why you're going through what you're going through. Other people just kind of, they live by example, and they can't really articulate what it is that they're trying to do and how they help or what God's doing in their lives. But man, you just know that it's there and it's real and it's inspiring, right? Both are essential. They're necessary. We need both, but you've got different, there's a difference between the two. Some people are faith-oriented. Other people are action-oriented. And you need both, because the action-oriented people can get really bummed out sometimes when things aren't going their way, and the faith people can get too whacked out if things are, you know, like, you give faith people and I, hey, let's do this, and they've got these, like, ridiculous plans, and you got to bring them back. There's a middle ground to be found, right? And so we need each other. Like, you're going to have elements possibly of both, but you're going to have a bend toward one or the other with a dose of the whatever the contrary is in the situation. And so the point is just, man, you've got a gift, and you need to use it. And if you don't, you are neglecting the body. You're neglecting the community of what it is that you bring to the table. So use your gift. And then the last part is use it well, man. We've been doing this leadership teaching kind of with our volunteers. We call it the honor code. It's a set of principles or values that we as kind of a culture want to have. And one of them is excellence. Man, we just want to do everything that we can to the best of our ability. Now, that's not to say that, you know, we're Disney World, but we're going to do the best that we can with what we've got, right? And so our motto or phrase that goes along with excellence is, and then some. And then, that's very chantable and cultish. Completely kidding. And then some. Like, don't just do it, but do it well. Like, don't, man, I get so frustrated. If you have children, you know the frustrations of this. Hey, clean your room. Done. No freaking way. Like, it took you 6 years to get it that messy, and you mean to tell me you got it cleaned up in 30 seconds? No, they may have gotten it done, but everything is not done well at all. So, man, let's just do what we do and do it well. And I think even more than that, do it with the right heart. Do it with the right attitudes, the motives. What are the motivations for you doing what you, because so many people, especially in church, and look, I'm not cracking on anybody. Maybe I am. I don't know. So many people do things in church just because they want attention. And I'm like, you're missing the point, bro. Like, we come, Jesus, like, he came to serve other people. He didn't come saying, woo, you know, look at me, look how awesome I am. Everybody come and elevate me to this position and feed me grapes and fan me, which would be awesome. My birthday's coming up. Let's make it a day, right? But that's not what he did. Like, he came and chose to serve other people. And I think when people, they serve in church, they kind of are looking for, you know, I don't know, adulation or something. I don't know what it is, but don't do it like that. So let's kind of back up. I get excited. Thus far, Paul's talked about, hey, just be aware of others. Be aware of the decisions that you make affect other people. There is a ripple effect. And he also pointed out how we're different, but we belong to each other. And our uniqueness is the strength of our bond. Our differences, they don't just differentiate, they compensate. Like, you complete me, bro. That was romantic. But in the next couple of passages, or next couple of verses, you get to see that he emphasizes not just doing what you do, but doing what you do well. For those of you that are pop culturally driven, you may understand this. Rock what you got, right? Like, you've got gifts. Like, you've got talents. You've got abilities. You've got this purpose inside of you that you've got. I don't have it. They don't have it. You've got it. It's yours. And you know whose responsibility it is to use it? It's yours. Like, nobody can do it for you. Your mama can't do it for you. Your pastor can't do it for you. Your buddy can't do it for you. You have to do it. And so rock what you got, man. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. This is what it says. It says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And I want to stop. I was thinking about that. Like, just like in the first week, we talked about how worship is a response to the mercy of God. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your true and you know, proper worship. And it's in view of God's mercy. Because of God's mercy, our response is worship. Using our gifts is a response to the grace that's been given to us. We each have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us, right? It's always about a response for what God has already done for us. We respond to that by serving and doing and using what it is that he's given us. So Paul kind of lists these different things that you can do. He said, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If your gift is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. You see what's going on here? If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is to give, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully, right? And so I think Paul's not just going through the list of all the possible talents that you could have or the gifts that you could have. He's like, if this is your gift, do it, right? Like, do it. Like, there's no excuses. There's no cop-outs. There's no, you know, there's no language in here that gives us an out. Do it. And I'm so frustrated. Like, you know what I've come to the conclusion of? And this is just me ranting this morning. I think the longer you're in church, the more entitled you become. And you think, like, it freaking blows my mind. But the longer people are in church, the lazier they get, or the more they want to be served rather than to serve. And I was thinking about how many needs that we kind of have, not needs, but like areas that we could really excel in as a church if we had more people that were really serving the church. But most of the people who have kind of the expertise to serve the church are sitting on their butts and not doing anything. They're sitting on their arsenal of tools that God has given them. Right? Arsenal of tools that God has given them. Just do it, man. Like, Nike was so right. Just do it. Like, you've got a gift. Just use it. You've got a talent. Do something with it. Like, and I am so frustrated. Everybody, I'm not frustrated. I'm not a frustrated person. I don't know why I keep saying that. Maybe I am. Maybe it's just coming out this morning. I'm projecting all my insecurities on you guys. And so I get so irritated when people say that they've got, you know, this gift or this way they want to serve or they've got this purpose and they want you to do all the work. It's not my job. You do something with what you've got. You use the gifts that you've got. You use the talents that you've got and serve other people. We don't have to start. If you're an encourager, let me give you an example. If your gift is encouragement, man, you love to serve other people through that. And man, you love the way that you make people feel and smile if you talk to them and they're having a bad day or they're going through this situation or whatever it is. I'm not going to start an encouragement small group for you. Hey, I'm starting, homegirl is an encourager. We're going to start a small group for her so she can encourage people. Find hurting people. Encourage them. That's how you serve people. And then some, right? Don't wait on other people to do something for you. That just, it's never going to work. It's never going to work. It's never going to work, right? Man, I hope you guys don't get mad at me about this. If your gift is to serve, then serve. If your gift is to teach, then do it. Like, then do it. It doesn't say, if your gift is to serve, then approach the pastor or the leader of a church and ask them to set up a ministry for you so you have an official position and title and a budget. Does it say that? No. If it's to teach, then do it. If it's to serve, then do it. If it is to encourage, then do it. If it is to give. And this is where it gets really interesting to me. Because Paul, not only does he tell them to do it, but he tells them, he adds adverbs. How many of you guys like English and grammar? Yeah, so here's an adverb coming at you. Have you ever heard how you console somebody that's kind of a Nazi, grammar Nazi? There, and all three variations of there. T-H-E-I-R, T-H-E-R-E, T-H-E-Y, apostrophe R-E, there. Okay. I should have showed that instead of trying to explain it. The people that explain their jokes never win. So Paul continues and he says, if your gift is to give, then do it generously. If your gift is to lead, then do it diligently. And if your gift is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. And I think, like, he kind of lays out the first few and he just tells you to do it. But then at the end, he starts to tell you to do it well. And he speaks to the heart, because I think people can do the right thing with the wrong motive. And if you're doing the right thing with the wrong motive, you're doing the wrong thing. Like, it's all wrong. If you have the wrong motive, if you're self-seeking and doing the right thing, it's the wrong thing. Like, you've got to do the right thing with the right motive. If you're giving, then you're not doing it because you expect something in return. You're doing it because you're being generous, like God has commanded you to be. If you're leading, then you're doing it diligently, not so people serve you or become subservient to you. You're just being diligent to the call of God that's on your life. If you're showing mercy, then you're doing it cheerfully. Notify your face that your heart is happy. Right? Can I rant for 1 minute? Just 1 minute. I'm just convinced that a smile never killed anybody. And people that walk around like they sucking on sour grapes drive me nuts. Like, you don't have to be like, you know, the cheerleader and permagrin or anything like that. But come on, man, put a smile on your face every once in a while. Greet people. Say what's up. Say how you doing. How's your mom and them? That's that. Can we do that? Man, when you go to fast food, I'm like, bro, you're taking my money and you being rude to me. Tell me how that works. And you mess up my order. I just want to just reemphasize and kind of wrap this thing up. And don't wait on anybody else to do what it is that you're supposed to do. Give me one other area of life where that works. Oh, I need to go to college. Well, your mom's not going to go to college for you. Your mom goes to college. Right? Give me another area of your life where that works. You need to go get a job. Well, your brother's not going to get a job and give you his paycheck. You've got to do what you've got to do. You've got to take responsibility for your life. And it's just a cop-out if you don't do anything with what it is that God's given you because somebody hasn't given you a role or a position or a title. That's garbage. Garbage. Use what you've got, where you're at, serve where you're at. You've got coworkers and family and friends that you can serve. You've got a community here. We try to, like, we don't push, you know, people to get involved. We want people to get involved, but it's really just so that, I mean, it's mutually beneficial. Sure, you serve the church, but we're also giving you an opportunity to use the gifts that you have in doing so. And so don't do that. Just don't do that, right? I want to close like this. I want to pray for two, kind of the two groups of people we've talked about this morning. If you've been living under the false assumptions that the decisions that you make only affect you, you need to stop. Like, just stop buying into that lie. It's not a reality. It's not true. You've got beer goggles on, bruh. Stop. Sober judgment. Remember that your life is not your own. You've been bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Serve each other. We're connected to one another. And so if you've been making decisions, you've been living a life, and maybe you've got a pattern in your life that's affecting other people, but it's still beneficial to you, and you think that it's good. It's not. And so you need to stop. So we're going to pray this morning for God to forgive you and give you grace to change and stop, right? And then the second group is, I just want to pray for some of you to be encouraged, man, to use your gift. Like, what, you've got something, Every one of us have something, and even if you feel insignificant or you feel like, man, maybe I don't have much to bring to the table, you've got something that's lacking, that's missing, and you are the only one that can fill that niche, that role, that need that we have as a body. So let me pray for us this morning to that end. Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you for everything that you do for us. God, I pray first and foremost for every person in the room, God, that we don't allow pride, God, to wreck our lives, because pride does every single time. Pride destroys, pride tears down. God, I pray that if there's anybody in the room this morning that maybe has been making decisions or living a pattern or a lifestyle based on only how it affects them and only what they can get out of it or the passing pleasures of sin, God, and not taking into account how it affects other people and how it affects those closest to them and the ones that care about them. God, I pray that you would forgive them of their sin and the things that they're doing wrong, their sin of selfishness, their sin of pride, and that you would forgive them and help them to change, give them the grace to overcome, God, that mentality and that way of thinking. God, I pray for the rest of us, God, maybe that aren't being in the game as we should, so to speak. God, maybe we've been on the sidelines and we've just kind of been watching and we've been sitting and not serving other people. God, I pray that we would feel the weight of the responsibility that each of us has to each other. God, that we wouldn't just want the benefits of relationships, but we'll embrace the responsibilities of relationship. God, that if we're in this community and we're connected to each other, then we need to bring something to the table. God, if our gift is encouragement, let us do it. If it is serving, let us do it. If it is teaching, let us do it. If it is giving, let us do it generously. If it's leading, let us do it diligently. And God, if it's being merciful, God, let us do it cheerfully. Help us to do it and to do it with the right hearts. Jesus, we love you, and it's in your precious name we pray. And everybody said, amen.